Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:05 on the clock. At your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
Entertainment news coming up for you, then in right stories, good stories of the day, all on the way right now. You know how our Mondays kick off with the kitchens open.
Yeah. It's Monday, February 20th, and the kitchen is open with an exciting announcement.
Yay!
We have a sponsor for our segment. Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering are sponsoring the segment, and we're delighted to have them on board.
We certainly are. Chatterbox Catering is a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs. Their restaurant is open 7 days a week with a fish fry special on Fridays. And during Lent, they're doing fish fries to go.
Hey.
Yeah.
Even better.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about them more at the end of the show, but we are so excited to have them as our sponsors for this segment. Thank you, Chatterbox.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, on this very special day, a tiny human with massive hands was born. This young man would grow tall, very tall. He had to catch up to the hands. At some point along the way, he discovered various uses for his hands, palming a basketball, grabbing things from tall shelves, balancing watermelons, maybe. But what he discovered was the best use of these marvelous hands and his their true calling, holding bacon double cheeseburgers.
Yes.
So, in honor of James's birthday today, we are going to discuss all things bacon double cheeseburgers.
Yes, we are.
Or double bacon cheeseburgers, whatever your preference.
So what exactly is a bacon double cheeseburger? Well, most of us know the answer to that question. It kind of says it in the title. But what makes a bacon double cheeseburger great? The answer to that is the beef.
Uh-huh.
There you go. But not only the beef, but how you prepare it. So we're going to talk about how to make homemade burgers taste just as awesome or sometimes better than the ones you can get at any of James's favorite restaurants.
So when you buy ground beef at the store, there's always a ratio on the package. Most often, it's two numbers as a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
These are the lean to fat ratios. The numbers indicate how much lean meat is in the package versus fat. The most common to see are 90-10, 80-20, and 70-30. Now, 30 is the highest you will ever see in the store because that's the highest percentage of fat that they can legally sell.
Yeah.
These rules create consistency for the consumer and ensure you're getting the right amount of meat for your money. Sometimes you'll see just one number on the package, like 85% lean or 90 lean. This means the exact same thing, they just left out the fat content, and you have to do the math yourself. Not so good for me, but, you know, the rest of y'all are just fine.
See, your math teacher was right when they said you'll have to use it someday.
Every day.
There you go. So 80-20 or 80% lean is the best ratio for burgers.
Yes.
It has a decent amount of the fat that it needs, and this is important. It contributes to the moisture to keep the burger from drying out while cooking. That's why you want a little bit more of fat in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a different ratio in your fridge and really want to make a burger after you hear the segment.
Because you will.
You still can. We're going to give you some tips as how to make it better. So more fat, you're probably okay. Some of that fat's going to cook out anyway, but you'll end up with a pretty greasy burger.
Mm-hmm.
So slightly leaner beef is still okay, but you may need to add a little bit of oil to the pan. So if it's as lean as 90-10 or 93-7, so that's
that's
really,
really
lean meat, which is better for your cholesterol, but not so good for taste.
Mm-hmm.
You'll want to add some minced raw bacon into the beef to give it that extra fat and flavor.
Mm-hmm. Now, most recipes I saw tell you to make your patties thin before you cook them.
Mm-hmm.
This makes perfect sense since there's two beef patties on a bacon double cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you would form quarter pound balls and form them into thin patties. You can stick them in the fridge for 20 to 30 minutes so they're a little more firm before you try to transfer them to the pan or the grill. But another way to make delicious burgers is smashing them directly into the pan.
Yeah.
These are called smash burgers, and they're all the rage right now. So to do this, you'll form 2-ounce balls with your 80% lean ground beef. When your pan is hot, you simply place your meatballs in the dry skillet and literally smash them with a large spatula.
Yeah.
So pastrychefonline.com recommends the Sasquatch spatula. And I just had to mention it because it's fun to say.
Yes, that's right.
The spatula weighs a literal pound and is sturdy enough to smash your burgers really thin.
There you go. The reason that you want to try to make these smash burgers is because you'll get a delicious, crispy surface because of the higher crust to the interior ratio and a short cooking time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you'll lose a little of the juices of the thick burger, but umami goodness, the yummy goodness, is totally worth it for the additional flavor that you're going to get. So this happens because of a scientific process, believe it or not, called Maillard reaction. It's a chemical reaction between an amino acid and the reducing sugar with the addition of heat. It's what's happening when you brown meat or toast bread or coffee beans. The process creates hundreds of different flavor compounds. Louis-Camille Maillard, that's the English pronunciation, or in French, now I'm going to butcher this because I don't speak French. Louis-Camille Maillard.
That was good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to have it phonetically in there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He is the chemist who investigated this reaction in the 1910s. So this is 110 years ago.
Mm.
You really only need to season your meat with a little bit of salt and pepper. The rest of the burger components will really add to the flavor. So you want your meat to shine.
Yeah. Now let's talk about those other components.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, bacon is another big factor in this recipe, but also cheese. You can add other ingredients like caramelized onions and a burger sauce. And, of course, you'll need the bun.
Right.
And this is where James inserts his bun idea of the bagel.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I think that one of the things that you want to look out for with that bagel, make sure that it's toasted really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're putting any, like, the something like a slice of lettuce or something like that over the hole on the bottom. That's a nice idea. Cheese isn't bad, but it can dip out. That if you've got a good burger, the way I make them at least, there's going to be a little grease coming off of
that. Okay, we're
going
to cut him off right now.
Right.
Stop talking, James. All right, first bacon. So you have to have a local butcher, or if you have a local butcher or meat processor, this is your best bet for getting delicious, fresh bacon. Smith Brothers Meats in Colby is my go-to. They have a great selection of fresh meats and cheeses. Now, Newski's is another great place to get bacon, or any meat, really. They're located in Wittenberg, Wisconsin, not too far from here. So you can cook the bacon first until it's crispy, chewy, and it's really easy to make it in the oven, but you can also make it in the pan. You want to keep an eye on it so it doesn't get too crispy. You don't want it to shatter when you take a bite, but a nice crisp with a little bit of chew is perfect.
Absolutely. Now for cheese, you can use anything you like. You can even use two different kinds of cheeses since they are in layers.
They're
in different layers, yeah. So cheddar and Swiss are a great combo, but if you're looking for the ultimate meltability, look no further than American cheese slices.
Ding, ding, ding.
The classic. The trick with whatever cheese you choose to use, it needs to be thinly sliced so it melts quickly and you get the ooey gooey goodness of the cheese.
Now, caramelized onions are an excellent addition and add more juiciness to your burger experience. How do you feel about onions there, James?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we won't ask James's opinion on this. Vidalia onions are great because they have that little bit of sweetness.
Yes.
But you can get that by adding a tablespoon or so of sugar or balsamic vinegar to plain old onions when you're sautéing them to get that. Just a little bit of sweet.
And you got to get them nice and caramelized.
Mm-hmm. It takes about 45 minutes to properly caramelize onions. So you want to start those first.
Or you could pre-make them, refrigerate them, and then just
have
reheat them,
when
you're ready to go.
Indeed.
For a sauce, you can make your own homemade burger sauce with a half a cup of mayo, 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, and black pepper.
Nice job on saying that.
Thank you very much. Been practicing for years.
Well done.
Or another great sauce is mayo, ketchup, mustard, pickle juice, salt, and pepper. You can even add onion and garlic if you like, but these delicious burgers really don't need a lot of additional flavor from the sauce because of the burger and cheese and bacon themselves.
Mm-hmm. So for the buns, if you're not going to go with James's idea of the bagel bun, you could try brioche burger buns. They're a delicious, rich bun made from butter, eggs, milk, and a touch of sugar. Mm-hmm. They have a ton of flavor and a soft crumb, but they are a little rich. Now, you can make them even richer by putting a little bit of the bacon grease on them before toasting them lightly in a pan or the oven.
So, time for burger assembly. So you have your caramelized onions and bacon ready to go. You've prepared your sauce and your burger buns, or bagel if you're James.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been toasted, so it's nice and crunchy.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. The ground beef has been proportioned out, and now you are ready for assembly.
All right. So, like we mentioned earlier, you want to heat a nonstick skillet to medium-high to high heat, and don't add oil unless your meat is very lean. Mm-hmm. Put two of your 2-ounce meatballs in the skillet and smash them with your spatula or bacon press.
Wonderful you want to way get to get them, your aggression out, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to get them nice and thin, but you only want to smash them the one time. Mm-hmm. So you need to resist smashing them again so you don't lose any more of the juice. Smash them down and thin out the edge and then leave them alone for 2 minutes. Scrape the burger off the pan and flip it over. Cook for one additional minute. Add cheese to both patties, and on one, you can put the caramelized onions if you're not James. Stack the two patties together with the onions in the middle, assemble your burgers, and you're ready to taste deliciousness.
Another delicious option James may want to try is adding maple syrup. Oh, he perked up with that one.
Yeah, you did.
That's right, James. Two of your favorite things together. The best way to do this is after you've cooked your bacon, remove it from the pan and pour the drippings into a bowl. Put the bacon back in the pan and drizzle in 3 tablespoons of maple syrup and sprinkle with 1 teaspoon of pepper. Cook over medium heat, turn the bacon to coat it with the syrup. It will take about a minute for the bacon to glaze, and yum!
Now, if you want that actual fast food burger texture, wrap your completed and assembled burger in foil and allow them to steam for a couple minutes. This softens the buns and gives you that same burger texture. Mm-hmm. So there you have it, James's favorite meal of all times. And I have to say, it sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I might just even have to make these tonight.
I know.
But I'll tell you what, if you don't feel like cooking, head over to Chatterbox Restaurant and have Kathy and her staff whip you up a bacon double cheeseburger. You'll get a delicious meal and excellent service.
Maybe we should talk to them about catering James's birthday party?
Ooh, good
idea. Bacon double cheeseburger buffet line?
I like the sounds of that.
Isn't that great?
I don't know, Beth. But if you have catering needs, contact Kathy at the Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering, and she will find you the perfect menu for your party. Call her at 715-712-3393 and cook up something good.
Absolutely.
All right. With that, unless, James, you have anything to add about bacon double cheeseburgers?
No, you're just brats. Both of you are brats.
With that, we'll close the kitchen.
That's right.
Wonderful episode, you two. Even more wonderful. Very happy that the show has a sponsor. It deserves it. A big shout out to our friends at Chatterbox Restaurant. Yes. Love our friends over there.
And
great
thank you,
people.
Steph.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Steph. Appreciate you, Steph. I have to do this, though. I have to let the audience look behind the curtain for a moment. Melissa is such so awesome. She sends me notes all the time on stories and different things that you've heard us feature on the show here. And with this particular segment, she knows what a planner and prepper I am, so she sends me her notes of what you guys are going to go over and everything.
Just a basic outline.
Yeah, a basic outline so I can time things out. It works really good. It's been a great thing,
good.
And I appreciate it so much. And late last night, I got yours, and I was in the middle of class, so I only got a chance to glance at it, and it was just intro. Food is good. Number one, good food is good. Number two, really good food is better. Number three, I like tasty food. That was it.
I did include the sponsor note.
Yes. When I had a chance at about midnight to look at that, I look at it and I'm like, boy, what a shame. She ran out of ideas right when they got a sponsor. She's got to have an angle on this. There's something she's doing here. I had no idea that's what
wonderful.
You guys were doing, though. I was blown away by that. It, to the point where you got about like a minute into your description before I'm realizing, wait a minute, is she talking about me? Well
tiny
played.
Human with massive hands. You didn't catch on away.
Come
on.
No, it took me a good 30 seconds longer than it should have. Yes. Thank you both, brats, but I love you both. Appreciate you both.
We love you too, Jess.
Great episode, you two. One more time, big shout out to Chatterbox Restaurant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We will take a break. We'll come back with some entertainment news a little bit later. We'll talk about some trivia involving our presidents. And we got some That Ain't Right stuff, good stories of the day, all coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got me still red-faced.
And we can't stop talking about these burgers.
No.
You know what I think would be another good option to the lettuce to protect that bottom bun? A piece of cabbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you get that extra crunch.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And cabbage can be a little bit stronger,
too. Oh, it would definitely protect that bun.
Ooh, yeah. Now I have to make one. I have to try it. Yeah. I have to.
Good thing you have notes.
Yes, I do. I'm keeping those notes. I was telling the ladies, I got to keep those notes. There was some good stuff in there. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Getting into some entertainment news now, we kick off on a melancholy moment because actor, comedian, talk show host, author Richard Belzer passed away over the weekend at his home in France. He was 78 years old. There's no word on the cause of death, but he'd reportedly been dealing with a number of various health issues over his life. Mm-hmm. Richard Belzer, the first time I saw him was a night at the Improv on A&E as a stand-up comedian. And right away he walks up there nonchalantly but with attitude, in complete black sunglasses on, or black glasses or what have you, and everything. Mm-hmm. And was not an insult comedian, but very direct and very like, I don't care if you laugh at my jokes or not. I'm going to keep doing this. Monotone, kind of like a tone sort of thing, like a little like Stephen Wright and some of those things. He goes on, and one day I'm watching TV, and I'm watching Law and Order, and there's Richard Belzer, or I'm sorry, Homicide: Life on the Street.
Right.
And there's Richard Belzer, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know he acted. And mm-hmm. then, it was one of my favorite shows, Homicide: Life on the Street, and mainly because of the cast, and in part because of him. Mm-hmm. He was so good at the part that when they come up with Law and Order SVU, he was one of the first people that they cast. Not the character, Richard Belzer. They wanted to bring that character, Detective Munch, to Law and Order SVU. It's unheard of. You don't do this. You don't take a character from a completely different TV show and then put him in another one.
Right.
But that's how much people loved Richard Belzer's performance of Detective Munch.
And I would tell you, I have seen that happen in another, and I can't recall which one. It's a book. It's a book I've read. Mm. And then this other beloved character from a different series of books, one of the same authors, shows up in this other series. And I was like, oh,
that's exciting.
I love it so much.
See, I think it's even more exciting in a book.
Yeah.
Because it really takes the buildup and everything. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
But none of the other characters. Like, it's just that one. And it was so cool. So I could see how that would really play well with audiences.
Belzer actually played Munch on 10 different shows, which is just unheard of. I don't think you'll ever see anything like this again.
Talk about typecasting.
Right, yeah. Life on the Street, as I mentioned, that debuted in 1993. He also appeared as Munch three times on the original Law and Order in the 90s. Then Homicide, when that was canceled in 99, they brought him on to SVU. He also appeared on X-Files, The Beat, Law and Order Trial by Jury, The Wire, Arrested Development, as Detective Munch, by the way.
Wow.
30 Rock as Detective Munch, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. He is the only actor that was on all the Law and Orders, even that Law and Order Trial by Jury that got canceled like a week, month in or whatever. Mm. Like, he was on that too. Like, he was literally the only one that was on every one of them. Belzer decided to take a risk and try comedy in the late 60s after his father took his own life, which is part of the reason why you would always see him in black.
Okay.
In the 70s, he was the warm-up comedian for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Belzer was hosting a Lifetime show called Hot Properties. A bunch of other stuff that happened with him throughout his life. He also appeared in Scarface, Fletch Lives, The Man in the Moon. Just an incredibly interesting human being. Mm-hmm. And not without his stuff off the field issues and everything, like every other human being in history. Mm-hmm. But certainly going to be very, very missed. And what it turned out to be his last scene on Law and Order SVU was him hanging out, I believe, with his grandson. And I went back and watched it last night, and it was just really beautiful to see, especially for somebody who was so hard and hard on the surface and rough-edged and all these things and all this time. And then kind of the last moment we get to see of him is him kind of just being human. And it was kind of cool and kind of fitting. And full circle, like.
Absolutely.
You'll be missed, Detective Munch.
Yes.
Yeah. This was pretty interesting to see this also come up over the weekend. Judge Mathis and the People's Court are both ending their runs at the end of this current season.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Judge Mathis has been on the air for 24 seasons, won a daytime Emmy in 2018. Greg Mathis is the longest-running black male host on TV.
Wow.
Period. That's impressive, sir. That's impressive.
Yes.
The current version of the People's Court featuring Judge Marilyn Milan is in its 26th season. Milan was the first Latin host judge to host a nationally syndicated TV court show. The original version of the People's Court featuring the great Judge Joseph Wapner ran from 1981 to 1993.
I remember watching that in my grandparents' farmhouse.
Judge Wapner.
Yeah. I always liked his interacting with the bailiff. I can't remember his name, but there was always the same guy, and they had great interactions and everything.
And he was the bailiff was so deadpan.
Yes, yes. I'm honestly a little surprised to see some of these shows canceled, in part because when you produce a show on daytime TV, you're not expecting it to be a ratings bonanza. You're looking to get what you can, and you know, kind of going from there. Your biggest thing is, hey, how many advertisers do we have? Because that's all daytime TV is about, is advertising, and a way to advertise to people that are at home with their kids sometimes, or they're home for whatever reasons, to be able to hit them. And that's why most of those ads are specifically designed towards people that they think are sitting at home. So when it comes to like, well, why would they be doing this? They must have some other ideas or some other things in the works, because you're not going to get rid of something that's pulling a 3-share or a 2-share or whatever. And okay, well, I know these companies are going to advertise on the People's Court. It's a given. They always have, you know, that kind of thing. So I know that I've got these advertisers on my network. I've got these people that are always going to come back to my network. They're not just advertising in that one spot. They're advertising throughout the whole gamut, 24/7, you know, whenever they can find a good spot. It's a big deal to be able to get that. If you're letting that go, I must have something in the chamber that's ready
to go.
I'm curious to see what that is.
Is it going to be another court show? Because there's actually a lot of them out there now.
There are.
I can't keep up with all the court shows.
I miss Judge Judy.
You're not alone. Yeah. There's a lot of people that want that show back and want her back, and more power to her. You know, that woman made more like daytime TV than I believe almost anybody has in history. And that's like, including Oprah. It's incredible, her net worth and all that, and all from, you know, doing a job that she loved doing. As much attitude as she could have on there and everything, she genuinely cares about people.
She's the real deal. Yeah. It comes through in her in her judgments. But she's 80 years old. I don't think she's
God
coming
bless
back.
Her.
No, and that's why I say more power to her. Yeah. Stay retired.
Enjoy your well earned retirement. Yes.
I get it. I don't know if I'd ever be able to retire. I don't think that I could do it, but I encourage people to do it, and especially people in that industry like that have done so much. And we're going to wrap up entertainment on two things. We'll talk about Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater in a moment. Before we do, though, I did just for a second wanted to touch on this. Olivia Newton-John's final recording is a duet with Dolly Parton singing Jolene.
Yeah.
It'll be included on an upcoming posthumous release of Olivia's called Just the Two of Us, the Duets Collection, that'll come out May 5th. We don't get an audio ability to do this very often, but we do have a little audio of this that I just wanted to play for everybody.
This is Dolly, okay, if you didn't recognize me, and I am so excited to be working with Olivia Newton-John, one of my favorites of all time. We've kind of always stayed close through the years, and I am just so proud to be a part of this duet project that she's doing. We're singing one of my all-time favorites that I've written called Jolene, and she says it's one of her favorites, so why not just do a duet on our favorite?
I'm excited. I've always wanted to sing with Dolly.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please, don't take my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Ooh.
Wow.
It's good.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
I mean, I know how powerful and good of a singer Olivia Newton-John is. I grew up listening to her and everything. I grew up in the 80s, so you had to hear Olivia. I didn't know she had that kind of caliber in her, though, where she was right in the beginning there. That's pretty good.
I came across this yesterday on Facebook and listened to it and just was blown away by the way, and their voices blend so nicely.
They do. It's not surprising. It would be more surprising to me if they didn't have chemistry, but it's still a little surprising. It's still a little kind of like, oh, that, because I don't think you would put those two in a room together, like right at the top of your head.
Well, was Olivia Newton-John still recording a lot in her later years, like not Dolly
much.
Does?
Not much.
Okay, maybe that's why, because I didn't place her voice right away, because I know her very early music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, like a lot of singers, she's being a bit a chameleon there, going a little southern, going a little country, yep. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, fits
yeah,
the song.
Right.
That was interesting, too. I don't know if this is bad to say or not. She almost sounded a little Dolly-like.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it wasn't just me. Okay. No. I didn't want to insult anybody there. So that part threw me, too. That was pretty interesting. That duets collection, again, will be out May 5th. I have not seen any of the other song listings or anything like that, but I mean, that one alone is going to get a lot of...
It's worth purchasing it.
Yeah. That's going to do some good downloads and everything. Wanted to wrap up mentioning Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We had the gang from A Streetcar Named Desire in on Friday's episode of Morning Magazine. We wrapped up the week, talked about the great show that is coming up March 3rd. Be sure to get your tickets for that, everybody, at wrctheater.org. Also wanted to remind everybody that the Curious Savage auditions will be coming up. Mm-hmm. That is going to be their final main stage play for the season, going to be directed by the wonderful Stephanie.
Yes.
Stephanie is amazing. They will have auditions for that on Monday and Tuesday, March 6th and 7th over at the WRC Theater.
Am I correct that this is her main stage directorial debut?
Yes.
I believe it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
congratulations, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I encourage everybody to audition for that. Get on down there. Check
Sounds
it out.
Sounds like an interesting show.
Yeah.
And we do this all the time when we talk about community theater. One of the reasons we talk about it is because we want people to feel what we feel from what we've gotten from it, the relationships, all the different fun things that come of being a part of things at the theater. And that doesn't have to happen on stage.
Correct.
As we mentioned before, that can happen backstage, mm-hmm. helping out with props and those kind of different things. We actually happen to have one of the people from WRCT right here with us.
Where?
Right?
Really?
Now.
Where?
They're coming in through the door. No, wait, it's Beth. Beth, I think you can explain and touch on some of this a little bit better than even I can.
We are always looking for volunteers to help in many different areas. We've got tech stuff, and if you don't know how to do it but are interested in learning, we have people that would be glad to mentor you so that you would know how to press the buttons and help with our sound, help with our lighting. We always need help building sets and things like that, and right now I'm serving as the hospitality manager for Streetcar Named Desire, and I'm in the process of looking for ushers and people to help with concessions.
Awesome.
So, you know, any of these areas, and they all are vitally needed to be able to make a theater run, and you would be surprised. So if you have any questions or are looking for a volunteer opportunity, just give us a call at the theater and let us know, and we'd be glad to connect you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can get tickets at wrctheater.org. Encourage you to do that and come on down, whether it's for auditions or it's just find something fun to do and something to, you know, some new people to hang out with. You will come to the theater. I have to warn people. You will come to WRCT. You will not leave.
No, you will become part of the family.
You will be a part of things. You will,
but you'll love
can't
it.
Be out. Yeah. Yes, you
and
will love every second of it.
We are in the finalizing process of next season's shows. So
awesome.
In the next week or two, maybe three, coming up
There'll
soon.
There'll be an announcement.
I'll be able to share some news about what our next season's going to be.
That's
Cannot
exciting.
Wait. Very excited about that. We'll be back with more after Melissa's news right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR. It's the Clash. I couldn't turn it off. I'm sorry. I almost forgot I have a job to do. I was just getting into the music there for a second. It's dangerous. I didn't realize bumpers could be dangerous like that. It's President's Day, and it's an easy. It's easy to debate every president's best and worst moments, blah blah blah, all that stuff. I don't want to get into that. I went to the website 24/7 Wall Street, and they put together a list of the weirdest trivia about every American president.
Interesting.
So I thought we can go over some of these, some of the highlights from these, and have some fun with them. Thomas Jefferson would have been a huge Weather Channel nut. Like, would have been all over. would have never been able to take his eyes off it. He was passionate, I mean very passionate, about meteorology and kept daily detailed records of the weather.
Really?
Apparently, Jefferson, while being one of the fathers of our country and so many, many things that we don't have nearly enough time in this show to talk about, one of the things that he did was he wasn't much of I'm going to write up details on this and this about my life or anything. But if you wanted to talk about weather, he could talk all day about that. He was not interested in necessarily talking about himself, but if you wanted to talk about weather, he would talk about that forever.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Martin Van Buren invented or at least popularized the term okay. The origin dates back to Van Buren's re-election campaign in 1840. He had adopted the nickname Old Kinderhook because he was born in Kinderhook, New York. His supporters shortened it to okay during rallies.
Very cool. Interesting.
I didn't know okay stood for Old Kinderhook.
Me neither.
John Tyler was born 233 years ago in 1790, and yet he still has one living grandchild.
Wow.
Harrison Ruffin Tyler was born in 1928 and is now 94 years old. And a second grandson, Lion Gardner Tyler Jr., died in 95, just 2 years ago.
Wow.
Well, that's some strong genes right there.
Longevity right there.
Andrew Johnson was born indentured servant for 2 years of his childhood.
Wow.
His mother had sent him and his brother away to serve a tailor. After 2 years, they ran away, and from his experience working with the tailor, Johnson made all of his suits while president.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know which part of those stats is more interesting, but that is very fascinating.
Yeah.
James Garfield was ambidextrous. And he could write in two different languages at once, Greek with one hand and Latin with the other.
Oh, that's cool.
Whoa.
Because a lot of people are ambidextrous.
Yeah.
But that's impressive.
Yeah.
I was always and always continue to be blown away by batters who can bat right and left-handed and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
That's taken that to another level. Yeah. That's very impressive. And if it was something I could do, everybody in the world would know I could do it. There's no way I would not be like, hey, did you know I could do this? Like, I would be showing that off every chance I get.
The equivalent would be a switch hitter also scoring a touchdown at the same time. Field goal. There we go.
Yeah. Nope. You're close. You're close to both of them. I love it, though. I'm leaving it right there. No, you're right, though. Yeah. Chester Arthur was sort of into the HGTV show American Pickers thing. He redecorated the White House, and to get the money to do it, he sold historical artifacts and antiques from past presidents.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Benjamin Harris was the first president to have electricity in the White House, but he was anxious about it and refused to touch light switches, so they barely used it. I would think, too, I would be in the habit of candles. It would take a while to flip a switch. Like, it took me forever. Our building here, we've got lights that just turn on as you walk into the room. It was at least almost a year before I'm going that light switches, like when I'm leaving in and out of the room and everything. I imagine you're grabbing a candle before, you know, you're used to grabbing candles.
Especially it's technology you're used to and comfortable with. Electricity was scary.
Yeah.
It still is scary. Look at the things that happen.
We still have trouble adjusting to new technology, don't we? I know a whole bunch of older adults that refuse to use a smartphone.
Yeah.
Or how about computers when they first became at home thing? My mom said she refused to learn email or computer until it became absolutely necessary for her job. Mm-hmm.
Well, and look at the hesitancy with electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's still a hurdle we have to overcome, and it's going to happen eventually, but...
So this is not a new thing that we're adjusting to new technology.
Yeah. It
goes all the way back to electricity itself.
Woodrow Wilson was way ahead of his time. He was an avid golfer.
Oh,
hey.
almost every president we've seen since, you know, golfs. Mm-hmm. Harry S. Truman grew up as a poor boy in Missouri and ended up being the only president of the 20th century who did not go to college. In fact, he was one of just 8 presidents who never attended college.
Wow.
Oh.
George W. Bush was the only president to have also been the head cheerleader in high school.
Nice.
It's an interesting one.
Nice.
I love it.
And me too. Maybe the most interesting one of all of these, Calvin Coolidge had a very interesting morning ritual. He enjoyed having his scalp massaged with petroleum jelly while he ate his breakfast in bed.
Huh. Sounds a little pampered.
It sounds a little messy.
Yeah.
Petroleum jelly?
Greasy.
Bed? Breakfast? He must have had his sheets changed every day.
I was going to say it had to.
That had to have been I bet that they're still finding crumbs. Like they're still finding crumbs from Mr. Coolidge there and everything.
Because they've been preserved in the petroleum jelly.
There you go.
That's the kind of thing where I almost would bring it up. I wouldn't have them actually do it. I just would want to see if I could get away with it. Like, okay, you guys would actually, you don't have to do this. I just wanted to see if you actually would. But they even got the jelly too. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
We will take a break. We'll come back with Danny Wright's story. Good stories of the day. Plenty more fun coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:50 on the clock. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Stick around, everybody. After CBS News, we'll have Playmakers for you, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. It's your sports show. Call up with the call up, join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings, 424-2600.
But first, we have to do one more embarrassing thing to James.
Yes, we do.
It's our last chance. We only got, 8 minutes left in this segment, James? Yeah. Come on, you knew it was coming.
I know. I wish I knew this was coming. What is this?
We have a cooking show, so it made sense for us to bake something to bring in for you. So you have what's called a toffee bar. So it's kind of like a shortbread cookie with it's chocolate covered. And because I know that you love dark chocolate, the extra chocolate chips that make out your birth year or how old you are, those are all dark chocolate chips on top of that.
Ooh.
That is so sweet.
Chocolate.
Can I say I really love the pan, too? This is a really cool pan. I like this pan. It's a nice pan. Thank you. This is so nice.
And I have a present for you, and I promise no penguins were harmed in the making of this present.
Should I open it now?
You probably should.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you.
You're not going to eat
that
on
is
air,
very
but
sweet.
But so on the top, I got to tell the audience there's a little penguin, and he was tied into the wrapping.
Oh yes,
so.
the wrapping. Little figurine. Yeah. So.
I've never the wrapping paper is penguin, so I've never been less wanting to less rip the penguin. I want to just be very gentle.
Yeah, your Christmas present was wrapped in that too, but I saved
it
this just for your birthday.
Oh, did you? Thank
well,
you.
No, that but it was what I had.
That is very. No, that's how wrapping paper. It always seems like you have like a little bit left over, and you just hang it like I can.
Well, and as you'll notice, it was piecemealed together to cover the box because you know odd shapes. Leftover.
Yeah, that happens. It happens. It always seems like, though, you've got like 8 rolls sitting in your basement or whatever of the tree. You know, you're never going to.
Yeah, no.
Not sure if you're going to use it or not or anything.
And you always keep the scraps that you want to use, thinking, I'll use this at some point. And
then
you never
3 years
really
later, find all this paper.
Yeah. Hopefully, So let's see what we have here. I'm trying to hurry. I'm sorry. This is probably a bit boring audio-wise for you guys. I apologize.
What are you talking about? They don't like the sounds of our voices?
Wait,
hold up. Oh, Melissa, this is nice.
So there's still a little bit of winter left, so you can wear this chenille scarf that I wove, and hopefully you like the colors.
I love the colors.
It's blue and gray.
Yeah.
It's stripey.
It is, and it's so soft.
Yeah.
Did you make this?
Yeah.
See, that's what I wanted. I wanted one of your things. That's what means the most to me. I like everything else about it. It feels amazing, but you are really, really good at this stuff. This is nice. Thank you so very much. This
You're
is a
welcome.
Really sweet gift. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And maybe my throat will start sounding a little bit better out of the air here and everything. That is really cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate all of you so very, very much. I hopefully we'll figure out what to what revenge to get back at you all at with.
We're gonna have to give him a day off so we can. Think about it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
No seriousness. Thank you so very, very much. We have a Danny Wright story to get to real quick. A 20-year-old man named James Taylor. From Chicago. There's too many things that were a little bit too like I had to. So this guy was arrested last Saturday in Chicago for armed robbery. James allegedly pulled a gun on a 35-year-old who was arriving home and demanded that he hand everything over. The victim gave him his keys, $2 in cash, a debit card, and a takeout bag of fried chicken. Rather than run, James opened the victim's car, sat inside, and began devouring the fried chicken.
Oh, my goodness.
The victim called 911, and they came within minutes and arrested James, who was still eating his chicken in the car. He was charged with multiple felonies and is looking at 21 years in prison for just the armed robbery part. There's no word on whether he was able to finish the chicken or not.
So in his mind, he was going to Carolina? Even though he didn't try to get there?
Yeah, I have no idea what the thought process is about any of this. Now, again, as we always try to say, I mean, we're talking about crime here. It's an immoral act. Mm-hmm. You can't put morals or thought into this or anything. But what the what?
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's a pretty simple thing. Steal, run. It's pretty simple.
You got the keys. At least drive around the block.
Exactly.
I love to know, like, as the officer is rushing to the scene to try to help this victim and everything.
They've got the description of the car.
Yes, yes. And they get there and they're like, wait, no.
Is that right there?
No.
Seriously?
Hey, sir. Yeah. Knowing that the door was open, he didn't even have to knock.
Yeah.
It's just a standard.
That must have been some really good chicken.
Like, as he's getting handcuffed, officer, real quick, though, you got to try a piece of that. You got to try a piece of that.
This is the best chicken, man.
I don't know why I did my dad's voice with that one.
Maybe your dad likes chicken.
Yeah,
maybe.
He's a big chicken guy. Good stories of the day. Cops in Alaska gave a cold pig a lift home last week. Someone called after they saw the pig on the side of the road. Cops posted a photo of him in the back of the squad car. They eventually found out his name is Elvis Pigsley.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you very much. A lost dog was running down the side of a highway near L.A. on Friday, but that's okay. After a nurse named Amber Strayed pulled over, opened her door, and the dog jumped right in.
Wow.
Amber has 4 rescues of her own at home, and she's taking her care of the dog for now and hoping to track down the owners.
Aww, that's awesome.
Way to go, Amber. That's awesome.
Mm, way to be.
And finally, looks like this lady might finally be able to retire now. A family in South Carolina ordered Domino's this month, and their doorbell cam got video of their 72-year-old delivery driver falling on their front porch.
Oh, no.
She dropped all the food, but they didn't care. They just wanted to make sure she was okay, and thankfully she was. The video went viral on TikTok. The people felt bad for her, so the family started a GoFundMe campaign to raise money to help her out with a nice tip, quote-unquote. Last we checked, the people that donated over $268,000 to help her retire.
Wow.
Well, how old was she? 76?
72.
72, and working, delivering food. Come on, people.
Right. Yeah. And we're still being told that minimum wage is enough for people to make a living on.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome on them to step up and do that.
It's sad.
It just makes me crazy that has to keep happening.
I hope she was doing it not because she had to financially, but I know a lot of retirees look for something to do just to have a job, just to be able to do something. And maybe that's why she was delivering food.
Somehow I doubt that.
I know. I'd like to think that's the case.
I don't blame you. I like the spin, Beth. I do. I agree with Mel, but I like your spin on that. I would hope so. We did have another good story we wanted today because every Saturday I pass the Winter Farmers Market and it is rocking over there, but it could always have a little more room.
Oh,
we could always have more people.
Yeah, every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Moravian Church's Fellowship Hall. We are accessible to all. We've got an elevator if you need to. We usually have a different variety of vendors each week, and we're getting more and more. We had, I think, 5 or 6 inquiries this last Saturday. So come check us out. The flow is steady. We've got food, we've got crafts, we've got jewelry, we've got skin products, we've got everything you can think of. So again, it's every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you're interested in more information, go to our website, wrmoravian.org. Go to the More section, and underneath there is a drop-down menu. Find Winter's Farmers Market. There's information for both those who want to come and check it out and those that might want to come and be a vendor.
And another good story of the day is it's James Malos' birthday.
Just
in case we didn't get it out there to you yet.
Happy birthday,
James.
You're all fired. thank you.
We
thank
love you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you all and appreciate you all. I work with the best people that there is. So, period. I don't care who you work with. I work with the best. I did also want to mention again, WRCT. They are always looking for volunteers, mm-hmm. looking for people to come on down, whether you're auditioning for shows or you want to be a part of things backstage or just see how you could interact and be a part of things at WRCT. Hey, I got this skill set. Put me to work. Like any of those things. Reach out to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, wrctheater.org. And Melissa brought this up as well. Our friends over at CWAC have some auditions coming up.
They do on Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe. They're doing a bunch of one-act plays. Mm-hmm. So if you want to try some, like a small part that maybe won't be as mentally labor-intensive for memorizing, mm-hmm. check that out.
Yeah, you can go to CWACT.org, CWACT.org. And, of course, appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for everything today. You've humbled me and you made me very red-faced, and I appreciate it
and
very much.
And he hates
much.
Us forever now.
Yeah, yes, pretty yeah, much, yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you all.
Get over it.
We will get. We'll come back with Playmakers right here at, well, I like the way Melissa says this.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.